Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Nauralo Elections Get to Know the Candidates Call, taking place on Wednesday, the 11th of May, 2016 at 2100 UTC. On the call today, we have Gordon Chillicott, Glenn McKnight, Candace Mendez, Evan Lebowich, Alan Greenberg, Jolie McPhee, Tom Lowenhop, Judith Hellerstein, and Lewis Houle. We have listed apologies from Leah Smiker. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Carrie Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please mute when not speaking as to avoid any background noise. Thank you very much. I'll turn it back over to you, Glenn.
Thank you so much, everyone. Welcome to this afternoon call. Judith and I really appreciate your time. Let me just go over a quick introduction and ground rules, and then I'll ask Judith to summarize where we stand in terms of our Nauralo election. So quite quickly, we hope to keep it on schedule with the questions, and we'll ask staff to maintain the clock if they can, while we get into the Q&A section, if the clock can be visible during the time allotment, so that would be great. We hope no one will be a Donald Trump on our call today, but it would be humorous, but we wish you all to be quite civil, which I'm absolutely sure you are. So I'd like to turn to Judith. Would you mind, Judith, just to go over what the 2016 election selection and appointment, what we're dealing with today?
Sure. This is Judith Hellerstein for the record. So at the meeting that we had on Monday, we, by consensus, we approved the nominations that did not have any other candidates. So we've already approved Glenn as chair, myself as secretary, and Eduardo as the non-com representative. This call is just to get to know the ALEC candidates for office, which are Louis Houle and Alan Greenberg. And I think the order, and as you can see on the agenda on the right, the order of elections is that we then give each person a five-minute speech to give their opening statements, and then we reserve the rest of the time for questions and answers, because we want to hear from you. This is your call to really find out who or what the candidates are, what they represent, what are their goals, what are their visions, and so more just to get to find out from them, besides what their statements, what they plan, what their plans are. And I think I can now turn it over. Glenn, do we need to add anything else?
No, that's excellent. We can start right into the second point, so if I may. Okay, so we have, as we've stated, there's only two nominees for this position, Alan and Louis. So what I would like to ask Alan for the next 5 minutes, if he can give his opening statement on the position. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I tried to make it clear in my written statement, and I'll try not to repeat the words here, but the intent, I'm afraid, is still the same. I believe the ALEC has advanced very significantly from when I started. When we, at that point, I think it's fair to say that the ALEC was considered effectively a joke by much of the rest of ICANN. I don't think that's the case anymore. We are now in a position where our advice and statements are listened to, are responded to, not always honored, of course, but I think we have the attention of the group of the rest of the community, and I think we have to build on that, and in fact we have to make sure that although we are a trusted and a respected part of the community, that we can in fact defend how it is we come to the conclusions and statements that we make. Currently, we certainly are not involving our community-based parts of the organization as much as they should be. We all know that there is an issue with ALS participation, and more than that, it's not just the representatives of the ALS as we need to get to. It's the ALS members themselves. We largely within Neuralo have ALSs, and we also have unaffiliated members, but an ALS is supposed to be a group, and we need to make sure that when we are talking about those groups, that indeed they are groups. So we have a lot of work to do to make to empower these groups, to allow them to participate, and right now I don't think ICANN does a really good job of that. And then we have to give them the vehicles through which to do that, and Neuralo acting, in the case of North America, as the vehicle that we can funnel these kind of things through. And I think the ALAC members have a large role to play in funneling that information and in moving information in both directions. So that's certainly a major focus from my perspective on how to make at-large more effective than it is right now. To do that, we, you know, there's a lot of different parts to the puzzle. The ALAC right now is looking at what has been called ALS criteria and expectations. That is, how do we recognize a good ALS, and what do we tell them as expected of them to make sure that indeed they're fulfilling the expectations that we have, so that we can claim that we are not just 15 ALAC members or 200 ALSs, but are thousands of actual people who are involved. And that's certainly the target of where we're going. There's a lot of vehicles to do that. One of the things that we have relied on heavily is we know it's really difficult to get people involved in ICANN. We speak in weird languages, often for non-North America and parts of North America, languages which the people don't necessarily speak. We certainly use technical jargon, which is not understood, and we have found one of the ways we can try to bridge that gap is to actually bring people to ICANN meetings through the General Assemblies and summits. I'm delighted to say that as of 2 days ago, based on a meeting with a number of board members and ICANN Finance, we have probably convinced them to build GAs and summits into the infrastructure of ICANN plans, so that we don't have to work year to year from now on, and hope that we can convince the next set of board members that we should do this kind of thing again. So presumably that comes through, and it looks like it will. That's a really promising change. I think that those are the kind of things that are important. What is important in the long term is for ALAC to be credible, for at large to be credible, and for that we have to make it work the way it was originally envisioned. And there's work to be done there, but I think we're getting a lot closer than we were before. From a personal point of view, I have been chair of ALAC for a year and a half or so. Historically, recent chairs have served for 3 to 4 years, and I would like to be able to fill out my mandate and accomplish the specific tasks that I committed to and that I said I wanted to do when I started the position. And to that, of course, I have to be on the ALAC, so I ask North America to support me and allow me to continue the work that I'm doing, I hope the good work that I'm doing, and to help at large grow and make it the group that we all want it to be. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Alan. You did it within the time limit. That was great. And I'd like to turn to Louis to do the same. Louis, you also have 5 minutes to provide your opening statement.
Yes. Are you hear me?
Yes, we do.
All right, fine. So thank you for everyone aboard today. I have a couple of preoccupations regarding how ALAC is working right now. I know that Alan's been doing a great job last year. He's a policymaker. He knows the machine deeply, and I do believe that everyone appreciated the job that he's done last year. It was great effort on that little issue on a transition. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that ALAC is working like it was originally envisioned. I have concerns regarding ALs. They were not contributing. They were not participating. They were not, for some reasons, how can I say it? They just seemed like it wasn't interesting for them to participate, because there's a little glitch that I see in how ALAC is working right now. We have a mandate that says that we must provide guidance, advice to organization regarding ICANN's proposals, activities, and we have to transmit that to what's relevant to individual internet users. It's how about the other way around? Who's providing internet users' concerns to ICANN through ALAC, and how it's done? I think that we've been, since the beginning, we've been improving greatly over the years, but it's still one of the things that I think we have to work on. And for doing that, I think that we have to improve the communication process between ALs, between at-large structures, and I think that it's not a top-down structure that I dream of. It's a bottom-up structure in a multi-stakeholder model, and we still have to go through some development on the methods that would ease the communication process between our structures. So this is one of the points where I think that I would like to put some efforts. I'm linked to the end users. I work with end users and at large, within Quebec, there's a very few ones, but people who are concerned by ICANN right now, in my community, if I can take that example, are not concerned by, they don't seem to be interested in the link that ALAC is providing between them and ICANN. So this is one of the things that I would like to work on. The other point is that how I was envisioning ALAC and railroads at the beginning was something that would be more inclusive. We're talking during our meetings about maybe pulling some, pushing some ALs out of our Narolo. I'm worried about that kind of thing. It means that somewhere we are not inclusive enough. So this is one of my concerns, and I don't think that I'm the only one that's sharing that concern today. So.
Louis, I'll have to cut you off, Louis. You've done your 5 minutes, but I think we heard your main point.
Thank you.
We're going to turn. Thanks, Louis. Let's go on to the next section. We have a series of questions. We're going to open it up, and I'd like to start with the first question from Evan. Evan asked a question that I'd like to, I believe he popped it in the chat for people to read as well. So, Evan's question was, ICANN and its community have been spending what seems to be almost all of its efforts on internal issues, that is IANA, accountability, upcoming at-large review. In the midst of all of this, do you believe that there are any important policy or technical issues that are under-addressed? due to the list he just gave, and we need that at-large community's attention. How can we bring these issues to the fore? So I'd like to turn to Alan first to answer that, and I'll repeat the question, Louis, if you forgot it. Okay, so
please.
Alan, please.
I'm happy to answer first, but the original plan was Louis first. But I'm happy to answer,
Alan,
if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Okay. A couple of things. First of all, from my perspective, although ICANN accountability and to a lesser extent IANA are internal administrative things, they are also critical to at large. And I've been asked a number of times, why have I and why have we put so much effort into it? And the bottom line is that the getting the U.S. out of the U.S. government out of the loop is critical to the credibility of ICANN from the perspective of many countries in the world. And if ICANN functions go to the ITU, they don't have an at-large. We are out of the picture altogether. And it is critical for ICANN to be strong and credible throughout the world if we are to have a voice in this process. So that's one of the reasons that I think we have done that. But the question is a good one. Have things gotten put on hold because of the last year and a half's focus on accountability and IANA? Yes. There are two efforts starting up right now on looking at whether there should be another round or something of GTLDs, and if so, what are the rules? That was delayed by a little bit of time because of the other processes. We're also looking at registration data services. That is again just starting somewhat late because of the focus on other things. Those are two really critical areas. They're going to have a very significant impact on ICANN from a policy perspective. And what the Internet looks like over the next couple of years, and those efforts are going on. There's a number of other policy efforts that are similarly going on. We've revitalized the geographic region issue, which is an internal one, but nevertheless an important one, and the framework of interpretation for redelegating CCTLDs is also essentially off the back burner and completing. So there's lots and lots of policy issues going on, and I think it's really critical for not only ALAC, but individual people throughout at large to get involved in these policy discussions. And they're there for the offering. All you have to do is volunteer and start working. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Louis, do you want me to repeat the question? Louis?
No, thank you. I think I have the main idea about from Evan. Yes, of course. There's a couple of new things that we've been, as Alan mentioned, and we all understand why it's crucial, and it was important to go through that policy development. And there's still some work to be added to that. One of the things that I'm worried about is a couple of ones regarding policies. We're discussing a new TLD project, for instance. I've been deeply involved in the actual TLD process started in 2008. And we definitely have to reconsider some of the questions and expectations that program had, and we had a guidebook that was very costly to answer to. It was a long process. And I definitely think that we must keep, I know there's a committee on that, but I don't see any outcome from that I'm really completely satisfied with. This is one of the things that I think we really have to consider in countries that are in development, in countries who are deeply needing some TLDs. And regarding technical aspects, Evan, there's, for instance, still many privacy issues that I'm really concerned about, and I think that we still have to front the end user interest, and this is one of the things that we, I think, have to work more strongly. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to go to the floor, and the first question came up is from Jolly. Over to you, Jolly.
Is my mic working?
Yes, we can hear you, Jolly.
I believe there is a who is a policy development process going on. Do we have input to that, and what do the candidates think about who is in general?
Okay. Louis, you'll be first this time then.
Yeah, I missed the beginning of your questions. Sorry about that. Can you repeat, please?
Jolly, would you mind repeating your question?
The who is process, is policy development process is just swinging it, coming into being, and I wondered, you know, what is what we see at large's role in that process, and do the candidates have any specific opinions about how it should go?
Good question, Jolly. Well, I think that we must take that point from the end-user perspective. And I think that right now there's some questioning about how we're going to end up with a policy that's going to be that will satisfy all the parties within ICANN, all the actors that are involved in who is, who have some interest for that question. And one of my concerns is that, you know, being anonymous or being protected for privacy reasons is a question that hasn't been answered with satisfaction with ICANN right now. And from my point of view, we still have to go through some more work around this. And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. And I think that we must be part of that process. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Louis. Now I'll turn to Alan to respond to the question.
Thank you very much. Yes, there is a new PDP that's just recently started. I am one of the members of that, as I am on the new GTLD process for future rounds. I believe I'm the only person on the PDP from North America who is involved in that large. It would be really, really good if we had more people. And the issue that Louis raises is, are the issues that are near and dear to at-large, and by the way, there is conflict in at-large. There are different people who have different opinions, so it's not a single view we have. But are the things that are important to us going to win? Maybe. But they're only likely to win if we actually have more people there who are working, who are attending the meetings every week, who are participating in the mailing lists, and I think that's an absolutely critical part. As you know, I've sit on the ALAC and I'm ALAC chair, but I also participate in these working groups. There's a lot of hours that go into that, but that's the way we get policy that actually meets users' needs. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Alan. I just want to go back to process for a second. Is there anyone on the DIGO that would like to bring up a question? Because I can't see your hand, you may be raising it, but I can't see you in wherever you are. So is there anyone on DIGO? No?
Hi.
Okay, anyone
Hi, Glenn.
Else
this is
from the floor?
Terry.
Oh.
Anyone on the DIGO telephone is also on Adobe Connect at this time.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for that. Anyone else on the floor that would like to ask a question? Okay, if not, let me turn to Judith for her first question.
Yes, this is Judith Helsing for the record. So you touched on a little bit about what your visions and goals are, My also question is it's a broader question about how at-large is viewed in the ICANN in general. Most of the other constituencies don't know at-large. They know just the ALAC, just the 15-member board. And so the at-large does a lot of work on the areas and different committees. And my question to you is, how are you going to more, in the goals of outreach and engagement, how are you going to work to sort of raise the profile of at-large more so than just the what people in the other constituencies know as this ALAC?
Okay, so Alan, you were second last time, so you're first this time.
Sure, thank you. I guess there are two parts to that. First of all, the ALAC is the part of at-large that is, so to speak, sticking out of the water, is the visible part of the iceberg within the ICANN infrastructure. So it's quite natural that that's the part that people relate to. And we have an ongoing problem that people interchange the terms at-large and ALAC. They don't really know the difference. We have an education problem with every new board member and every new president that we get in to try to explain the difference. But correspondingly, the GNSO has a similar problem, that people confuse the GNSO and the GNSO Council, which is comparable to the at-large and ALAC. So at some level, there's a confusion, but it's a confusion which is endemic throughout the rest of ICANN also. The councils are the visible body, and people use them somewhat interchangeably with the other part of the organization. In my mind, the real issue is not necessarily to raise the visibility of the rest of at large. I mean, we're plenty visible when we have summits and things like that, and when we have showcases and half the world comes to them, we're plenty visible. The real issue is that when people ask us, can you really prove that you're representing these users? That, you know, it used to be that people said, if you represent the 3 billion users, how do you communicate with them all? And we've changed the terminology that says we don't represent the users, we represent their interests. But still, the question is, how do we communicate and get input from them? And the answer has to be that we can demonstrate how we do it. And that's why I focused in my original statement today on increasing the credibility of ICANN, of at large, and getting real involvement at the ALSs. They don't need to see them, but we need to be able to demonstrate that that the peripheral parts of our organization really are participating in the discussions. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Same question to Louis.
I agree with a lot of points that Ellen just mentioned. You know, one of the elements that have never been clear with ICANN, it's to be able to clarify their position and for some of the constituencies to clarify exactly what they can offer, what they can deliver. Who's delivering what, and what are the responsibilities of a... For instance, if I want to recruit an ALS today, and I ask him, or I try to explain the difference between ALAC and at-large, just as Alan mentioned, it's going to be a challenge to be sure that person will understand exactly what's the difference. And if you're not inside, it's something that you will disregard and say, well, it's too complicated. And one of the elements that we must also use, as Alan mentioned, is we need to better use communications between our constituencies first, of course, but RALOS and at large and ALAC, I see a lot of room for improvement because we definitely need to share stories, to share what's happening elsewhere in the world, and not only within a small group that's working in ICANN because they've been elected or appointees, that we have to broadly try to communicate that information and share it at a larger level. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm going to put my question. I will lead it off, and Louis, you're going to be the first one responding. As one of the pending Norello ALAC reps, what methods, what tools, what methodologies do you plan on deploying in keeping the Norello membership, our ALSs, and many of them on our call today, up to date? And it gets back to the last question as well, on what ALAC activities are, how important the activities are, and their relevance. So that's my question. Louis, it's you first.
And then I had a screen in front of me. I couldn't see it. Now I was on mute. So I'm sorry about that, Glenn. Thank you for your question. Some of the concerns that Glenn, I'm sorry. I just forgot the beginning of your question. Would you be kind enough to repeat that for me?
Sure, Ken. What I'm saying is that as the Norello ALAC rep, we are quite interested in how are you going to communicate to the Norello membership, our ALSs, what methodologies would you be using, how would you reach out to the ALS community and actually make them understand the role and function and achievement that you'll be doing within that position?
Yeah, well, I think that we have to keep on working with ideas like the newsletter that we have in RLO, the meal card that you've been talking about during our last meeting. But I think that we have to use some of the ideas that internet-based processes and methods to be able to enable an ease communications process between our structures. I think that it's one of the main idea that I would put forward. We still, beside a small group of us, we still don't know what's happening with other entities, and we don't have any. We have some tools to do that, but we don't have any promotion, or we don't have any marketing or incentive to share that information and make it relevant to our groups. So. This is one of the things that I would like to mention. Actually, Glenn, the key word is improving the communication process. Thank you.
Great, thank you. We're going to turn to a question from Loris, but she doesn't have audio.
Would you mind having me answer also, though?
All right.
It's Alan.
I apologize, Alan. I guess I'm ahead of myself, Alan. I apologize for that. I do want to hear your response. Sorry, go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. Perhaps it's not even necessary because I did answer part of it already. We need to be more proactive and send information out in ways that other people can understand it. If you look at this call, there are people, as far as I have high count right, from four of our ALSs here. Multiple people from some ALSs, but four of our ALSs, not counting the candidates or the chair and the secretariat, who were pretty much obliged to be here. The best we're going to do
really?
and webinars and meetings and things like that are a small number of people. At best, it's going to be the representatives, typically, and maybe one other person in the ALS. We have to reach a much larger audience. We must put it out in snippets and things that are accessible to people so they can get involved. And you mentioned what technologies and tools. I think we're talking about stuff a lot more primitive here. I think we're talking about email, podcasts, and things like that that are accessible and usable to people when they're offline, when they have the moment to focus on this kind of thing. So I think a lot of it comes down to that. We really have to do something that can have a huge distribution and be usable by people who are not already familiar with all of our buzzwords. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Alan. I apologize for that slip a second ago. Okay. I think we're back on target. We have two questions in the queue. First with Loris. Judith, would you mind reading Loris Taylor's question? She doesn't have audio.
Sure. This is Judith Hellstein for the record. And her question is, what is your position on increasing the diversity of interest in ALAC? How will you engage more diverse interests? And I think, but maybe so she can correct me in the question, is that that we want a diverse ALAC board. And so I guess her question, maybe she can correct me or not, does she mean diversity in gender, diversity in location, diversity in, or I guess all types of diversity?
Okay, Alan will be in the queue for that, but just give us 1 second. Loris is clarifying. She is typing. And her response is not race-based. Okay, so Alan, you'll be first this time, then Louie, you'll be right after.
Thank you very much. Let me tell you a little story. In the accountability CCWG, there was talk about the requirement for diversity in the 7-person panel for the independent review process. That is, when someone essentially is, you know, just before taking ICANN to court, they can ask for an independent review. And there's every issue is heard by a panel of 3 people, but they're selected from a group of 7. And we had a list of about 12 different kinds of diversity that the 7-person panel should satisfy. Clearly, you cannot address every diversity in a small group. That's true in the 7, and that's true in 15. What you need are people who have knowledge, interest, perspective, open-mindedness, and cognizance of the various issues so they can make sure that these issues are not ignored as we go forward. And, of course, you need a community behind them who actually represent those diversities and can be heard and can put their things forward. So I don't think the challenge is the diversity itself in the ALAC, although, of course, we want diversity in it as much as possible. So, yes, we want to have diversity, but you'll never achieve it all on a 15-person group, but you need people who want to represent the more diverse interests in the huge user community that we're talking about, the 3 billion-plus people that are there today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Alan and Louis on that.
Hey, I was, yes, you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Of course, we definitely have to work on diversity, and I think that we are well positioned to do that. We've made some progress, and like in any other, organization that I'm involved in, and it's a matter that it's an increasing interest that we see, and I don't think that we can get away with it. It's part of life, and we definitely have to take all the interest on you know, persons that get engaged, that contribute their profile, where they come from, what are their interests, what are the issues that they're facing, and of course we have to be to include in the diversity of interest, the diversity of topics that we want to be considering in ALAC. And in order to do that, we need to interest people to come to ALAC also. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to roughly less than 20 minutes left in the series. I do see Loris's hand still up, but I'm assuming that's from her question from before. So okay, I believe she's taking it down. Okay, so we have another question from Evan. Evan had intimate knowledge of this subject, being the former vice chair of ALAC. Louis, you'll be the first one to be responding to this. So we've posted it in the chat box if you want to read along. As a follow-up question, based on answers given so far, we have heard a couple of times about a new round of GTLD being considered. Given the failure of public interest initiatives in the last round, bracket, no applicant support successes, so many community applicants denied, ALAC objections overruled, how can ALAC ensure these problems are not repeated? What indeed is your opinion on the justification from an end user perspective on the need of the next round? Okay, Louis, please.
Well, from my experience, I've been really deeply involved in Dot Quebec application, and I've been totally surprised by the huge number of applications that I can receive for that that program, and. Right now, we don't have the inputs to be able to evaluate what's going to be the impact, the result, the success, and the usefulness of the applications that have been accepted. This, as far as I'm concerned, puts a big hold on starting a new round. But that being said, it's important to at least work on improving what's been done, because as I said, I've been really involved in that, and it was a huge amount of work, and there's an awful lot of parties that haven't been able to apply for various reasons. And if we were to go to a new round, I think that kind of inequities should be considered. And I think that the imbalance that we can see on the planet in various regions, in various geographic regions, in various populations, I think that this should be considered deeply. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I'll turn to Alan. Alan, you have 3 minutes on this one. And just to give a time check to everyone, we go to 10 minutes to the hour, and then each of you will have 5 minutes each, maybe assessing what the other candidates have said or clarify some of the things that you've said that you want to stress again. So we up to 10 minutes to the hour, so we should be able to get one more question after this. So turn to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. I was never convinced that we needed a first round. So, you know, let's be straight about this. The best argument I have for needing a second round, and by the way, it's not clear there will be rounds. There may be, you know, some other ways of apportioning the, you know, any new openings, if there are indeed any. But the best argument I can have for new ones is to fix some of the problems that we created with the first round. You know, the inequities that were mentioned, the community applications that were turned down, in my mind, completely unjustly, the community, the support program for disadvantaged territories and countries, which failed abysmally for a whole bunch of reasons, including ICANN's lack of publicizing it properly, is perhaps a reason for doing something again. I think at this point, to be quite honest, whether this is a steamroller or a rogue elephant, there's likely to be more TLDs. And, you know, I can't imagine a scenario where that is not the answer at this point. Perhaps sadly, but that's, I think, a reality we have to accept. And the challenge is now to make it as good as possible, to try to fix the problems we had before, We can't fix them all because some of them are just history, but to try to fix it and create justice for those who were treated unfairly and try to make this round better in some ways, round or whatever it is that releases it. That may not be what everyone wants to hear, but I think it's a reality we are going to continue with this process. It's almost unimaginable given the people involved in the discussions that had not happened. And I think we have to work hard to make it happen well. And I'll repeat the advertisement. People have to get involved because it's not going to happen unless people actually speak up forcefully and make sure their voice is heard and they influence the outcomes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, the last question from myself is the term multi-stakeholderism has been bantered around with ICANN for a number of years. It means something different to different people. I'd just like to ask each of you for a short answer on this. What do you think the usage is with at large, and what are our expectations to make this a reality? And so it would be Ellen. You'll be first.
Sorry, can you repeat a couple of words? What are the what's in at large? Was that
okay,
expectations?
So what do you see? How would it be used within at large, and what do you think the expectations are with the term?
Okay, thank you. We use the term multi-stakeholder a lot. You're right. ICANN is a multi-stakeholder group. One of the multi-stakeholders within ICANN, for instance, is the GNSO. The GNSO itself is a multi-stakeholder group. One of the constituents of that is the non-commercial users. That itself is a multi-stakeholder group. So we have nested multi-stakeholders. At large is one of the main components of ICANN, and it itself is multi-stakeholder because a lot of us have very differing views. The challenge in any multi-stakeholder operation is that the reason we have multiple stakeholders and not one is because we have different positions. We don't agree with each other on everything. And the challenge, therefore, is how do we have something useful coming out of it when we're all going into this butting heads and violently or nonviolently disagreeing with each other. And the challenge is to make sure that we have good policy, good results coming out, even though we're disagreeing to start with. One of the possible outcomes is we end up with a lowest common denominator result. That is, everyone's happy with it or everyone can accept it, but it really does nothing. That's not what we need. We need to have ways of making sure that we can take the multiplicity of views going into it at any level, whether it's within at large or within ICANN as a whole, and end up coming up with good results. That requires dedicated, committed people who are passionate about the process so that they can put up with all of the difficulties that go along with it in coming to closure. So my expectations are it can work. I've seen it work. I've also seen it fail abysmally in various things in life, not necessarily within ICANN. And the challenge is to get people together who believe enough in the process that they can make it work. And I believe it can work, both within at large and within the ICANN overall, but it takes work and it takes commitment, and it means you can't have any single group who always win, because then we have a real problem. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Alan. Louis, you have the same amount of time, which means we'll probably give you 4 minutes each for wrap-up. So go ahead, Louis.
Thank you, Glenn. That model is always surprising for people who are used to be working narrowly in the private sector or myself within the government, where the gray matter of the person who's working for the government belongs to the government and you don't have a say outside that. You can't express your opinions. What I want to say is that it's probably one of the most encouraging model that I've seen, and it's very difficult. Alan mentioned that it's very difficult to implement at a level that can work for everyone. Being said, we see a lot of improvement. I've seen a lot of improvement in using that model. More and more people believe in the model and understand how it should work. For instance, Tom had a question regarding the New York City TLD. I was suggesting, Tom, that if an AL can be useful to the administrator and manager of the New York TLD, well, then this is part of what the multi-stakeholder model can be useful to. You need to demonstrate that you have some expertise that they count on, and you have to demonstrate that you can relate to the end user and provide some insight from the end user. This is what we are doing right now, and this is probably, as far as I'm concerned, one of the things that I would like to work in, if I was an appointee. I think that we must convince people that we are useful, and we must convince them that it's a good model, because it's a useful model, and it's an open model, it's an inclusive model, and it's a workable model, and we must keep on working on that model. Thank you.
Thank you, Louis. I appreciate that. Okay, Louis, you're going to be back in right away. We got 4 minutes of each of you. Louis, your wrap-up statement. Go ahead. And Robin, just click on it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's going to be very short. I think that one of the ideas that I put forward today, it's that we still need to, of course, work on policies. But my point is that I would like to be working on communication with among our entities, because we need to share information, we need to share stories, we need to share concerns, and I think that we have to get closer to our allies. We have to take into consideration what they want to bring up to ICANN, and this, in my view, can be done with better communication process. And I think that we still have to work on ICANN's providing more clear, I will finish with that, more clear statement on what ALAC is and what they represent to defend the end user interest, because it's still not clear for me. Thank you.
Ask Gwen.
Hello?
But Alan, why don't you go ahead then?
Okay. Thank you. I've already made it clear what I plan to do. There's a lot that needs to be done. I will point out that there's lots that need to be done by everyone in this group. It's not just the ALAC members. I'll point to Eduardo Diaz, who is doing a marvelous job on the Naralo newsletter. He simply volunteered to do it. He's not in an elected position. I think we need lots of people to do lots of work, and being in an elected or selected position should not be the pure criteria for whether one does it. I have a track record of being a committed volunteer. I work hard, I work long, and I will serve the organization, both ICANN, ALAC at large, and Naralo, in making sure that we have a credible and successful organization that can achieve its end purpose. That to do that requires lots of other people. There's no way the ALAC can do that on their own. But you need people in the ALAC who can act as the conduit and who are effective people at making this happen. I believe I am, and I hope I have your support. Thank you. Much less than 4 minutes.
Great.
Alan. Yes.
Alan,
thanks so much for your answers, and to everyone for coming to this question and answer session. I would like to turn to staff so they can explain the voting and how that would work, because I know that's always a question of people having, and we always get so many questions on that. So, Sophia?
Hello. Thank you, Judith. Yes. According to the timetable, we have the elections from the 18th of May to the 5th of May, for any positions where consensus was not reached. And there will be an electronic poll of Narralo ALSs and analyst-affiliated members between those dates. So that will be sent out by staff on the 18th of May. I can put the schedule here on the
chat. But Sylvia also mentioned which are the people who are going to be getting it, because it's often sent to both people, if there's two or more people who are leaders in that ALS, but only one can vote, so you may want to go over those rules again.
Okay, you mean the representative that is entitled to vote? We have a staff that maintains a list of people that are accredited by the LS, entitled to vote. And normally Ariel manages this database, and she sends in advance an email so everybody can confirm that they are their respective LS. So that process is managed by Ariel Liang, and she will be sending the email. I believe she does it a day in advance, so everybody has a chance to review and make sure that the database includes the name of their representative.
So much. And we have a little change right now with the unaffiliated vote. Since Alan is running for office now, and he had been the chosen candidate liaison for the unaffiliated, I believe he had passed that on to Tim Denton. And so I guess Tim will be voting the unaffiliated. Is that right, Alan?
Yes, that's correct. It's a directed vote, but nevertheless, for optics, it shouldn't be me. So. Yes, Tim has agreed to do it.
And
so Tim will probably be contacting. Tim will be contacting, I assume, the unaffiliated and asking them for their opinion.
The process used to be that we passed the change to the principles of operation a few years ago that it must now be an electronic vote. So it is.
You wish.
Silvio, we just lost your audio.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Silvio.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that we have this Article 17 on the Rules of Procedures, Narralo Operating Principles, and it says that unaffiliated individuals will adopt a verifiable process to ensure that both cast via their elected representatives reflect their views held among their membership. In the event of a tie, the unaffiliated representative will cast an extra vote. So on Article 17, you have the rules regarding unaffiliated individuals and the methodology to vote. And I can put it on the chat. I have put the link on the chat so you can review it.
The pointer is there. Anyone can follow it if they choose.
Hey, I'm aware of the time. It's the top of the hour. Judith, any final comments?
No, I have no final comments, but I want to thank everyone, especially Evan Leibovitz, for staying up to midnight his time to be on this call, and for others for taking time out of their day to be on this call. And Phil, thanks so much. And if you have any other further questions that you thought of but didn't get a chance to be answered, please send them out to the listener or send them to us, and we'll make sure that the candidates have a chance to answer them.
Or directly to the candidates.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Okay, well,
thank you
everybody.
All. Bye-bye.
And have a good evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bonsoir.
Bye, all.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.